Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with another Survivor exit interview, and today we're going to be talking to Simone Wynn, who is the latest player out from Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. We'll get her on the line, and then we will be playing another round of This Week in Survivor History, where I will be taking on special guest Megan Z. Jordan Kalish has everything ready to go for another trivia battle of things that happened on This Week in Survivor History coming up after the exit interview. Last night, we had chaos ensued as Cass McEwen joined me to fill in for Stephen Fishback on the Know It Alls. I'll be talking with Stephen Fishback right after this on our recap podcast later on today. And then I am out the door, headed down into Hollywood to go to the Hollywood Improv for our big Survivor Match Game Spectacular. Still working on tweaking my Match Game Survivor questions. Very excited about that, of course. We will have that up for you guys coming up this weekend. If you want to be with us in person, you may still be able to get tickets. Go to robhasthewebsite.com/matchgame. Should be a lot of fun. I'm very excited about that. And of course, our voicemail show coming up with Akiva Winokur this weekend as well. If you have any feedback questions, get those into us. robhasthewebsite.com/voicemail. Okay, we've got Simone on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Simone, are you there?
Oh my God, Rob, I am such a huge fan of your show. Like, my boyfriend is a patron of yours. Like, let us talk. Like, lay it on me thick, because I will answer any question anytime.
Thank you very much, Simone. And yes, big shout out to Steve. And so, Simone, how are you doing today?
Oh my God, I'm doing well, but obviously I could be doing better. Like, I was just voted out of Survivor, so like, what am I even going to do with myself?
Okay, but you're doing okay? You're in good spirits?
Oh yeah, I am. Like, I had such a good time out there. Like, I was struggling, but I was having fun, and I wouldn't take back a second of it, because it was insane. It was incredible. And I was just like telling the last person, like, yeah, like, this Survivor experience is something that's like all my own. Like, I'm not trading it for anything. Like, I had so much fun.
Okay,
questions. You have questions.
All right, yes, I have questions for you, Simone. So how come the tribe went with you and not with Patrick? Because it seemed like from the episode that while in the beginning they were showing that you were having a hard time fitting in, we got a lot of people talking about how tough it was to live with Patrick.
Oh my God, yes, it is so tough to live with Patrick. You have no idea. Can I just like talk about Patrick for a second? Because I knew that I was an outsider on the tribe, like, from the very beginning. Like, it was tough for me to connect to people out there. But like, Patrick, like, he was making life difficult for people. Like, he would like get up in the middle of the night and start howling. Like, we would do something like on screen and be like, let me do that, I want some camera time. And then he would like start yelling at people and berating people and like annoying them and picking fights with them. And I was just like, oh my God, like, you're gonna vote me out over this guy who's making your life difficult? Like, you know how hard it is to sleep out there. Mm-hmm. I was like, I would get up in the middle of the night because of Patrick, and I would be livid, like, livid.
What do you mean he would howl like a werewolf?
He'd be like, everybody, it's time to get up. Oh my God, that's a terrible accent. He would be like, yes, it's time to get up, it's morning. I'd be like, no, Patrick, it is the middle of the night. I fell asleep an hour ago, and now it's going to take me an hour to fall asleep again. So like, I really think that had Allie and Patrick like not gone to college together, like, I seriously think that like, it could have been closed, because it is just that difficult to live with Patrick. But he's a wonderful person. Like, he's like a fun guy. And when you don't have to sleep next to him and smell him, then it's not such a big deal.
Okay. Talk to me about the Allie and Patrick thing. So as far as you knew, did that come up at all while you were on the island?
No, they kept it so quiet. Like, I suspected nothing, but they were across the street neighbors. Like, Patrick helped Allie move her mattress up the stairs. Like, are you really going to choose somebody to stay who you've only known for 6 days, whereas you've met another person and you've known them for 6 years? Like, mm-hmm. That's insane.
Did that make you mad when you learned that they had gone to the same college together?
Well, you know, like, obviously I wanted to stay longer, and obviously, like, I wanted to play, but, like, you know, you can't be mad at whatever cards you get, because it's just like, well, like 15,000 people apply to Survivor every year. Like, people die to be on this show. Like, if they are cast together, maybe that's just the way that it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you be mad at that?
Talk to me about your relationship with Allie, because it looked like in the episode that she was starting to warm up to you as somebody that she could have worked with as an ally moving forward.
Let me tell you about the first time I met Allie. Okay, so like we get off like, oh my God, have you seen Allie? Like, you've seen a picture of Allie. Like, Allie is so good looking. Like, she's so good looking, like, it's not fair. Like, it's not fair to know that there's a person that's this good looking, like, out in your life. But, you know, but like I meet her and I'm just like, oh my God, you're so good looking. I hate you. And to me, I'm from New England. Like, I live in New York. Like, this is the highest compliment of the highest order, because not only am I telling you you're beautiful, I'm telling you like the whole range of my emotions towards your beauty. And then she's just like, oh my God, this girl hates me. What's going on? And I was just like, no, that's not what I wanted to do. So, I mean, obviously we're the Hustler tribe. The only thing that I could do, because I noticed like it was so hard for me to find common ground with people because of my way of expressing myself, it was like, just gotta work hard, gotta get the fish, gotta tend the fire, gotta get the firewood, like, gotta hustle. And I think that was ultimately what made her realize, like, okay, like, this person could be an asset to me. Because Allie and Lauren were people who I wanted to work with from before. Like, Lauren's got like this magic touch. Like, she's probably the hardest working person like I have ever met. And like, I was having trouble like getting along with her. Like, I tried to connect her with the fact that like she and I like were both leaving the country for the first time and that it was so crazy, but I don't think she was having it. And Allie, like, you know, I think she warmed up to me. If I had been saved that night, it would have been by the grace of Allie. And God, obviously.
Yes. So it seemed like that there was an issue with the puzzle in terms of that. I watched one of Allie's secret scenes and they felt like that you had maybe misrepresented yourself as a puzzle master. And then when it came down to doing the puzzle, that there was some talk of that you were just winging it. Do you feel like that you took too much of the blame on the puzzle?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say that I misrepresented myself, because I don't think I did. I was just like, oh, the only things that I might be okay at are puzzles and balance beams. And I was very upfront with people. I was just like, these are the only things that I might be okay with. But like, you got to say something, because it's just like, okay, if you don't say something, people are just going to be like, let's cut this girl loose. And so previously I was supposed to be on that maze, like with a ball puzzle,
yes,
on the previous challenge, but I was having a tough time with it, so Allie stepped in. And so like, Allie and I were both on the puzzle, but you know, she had already like won another puzzle, whereas like I hadn't been visibly contributing to the challenges. So I think it was easy to lay most of the blame on me. Like, I can't blame people who work for that.
Okay. We saw you bonding with Lauren about that Patrick was somebody who got on her nerves as well. Were you guys tight out there, you and Lauren?
I wish, but no. I think it was tough for a girl out there. I think for me, it was, I felt like I was an outsider on that tribe, even from the very beginning, because like, there were so many people, like, everybody was lying, like, oh yeah, I'm a dropout, like, I didn't go to college, like, I didn't go to school, like, I'm not actually a fisherman, I'm a contractor, and everybody was kind of like lying about their backstory. So I was just like, okay, like, let me not hide anything, because like, I don't want to be seen as like the sneaky Asian. So I was like totally upfront with people. I was just like, oh yeah, like, this is my background, like, this is where I went to college, like, this is the work that I do. And yes, like, I work in race and diversity and politics. So like, who wants to talk about that? Literally nobody.
Yeah. Now, you bring up race and diversity. Do you feel like that was an issue in why you were selected? Because I do feel like that it becomes a hot button issue where a lot of people point to that as the reason why you were targeted early on, because that there have been other women who are minority women who get targeted early in the game. Do you think that that was a factor?
Look, I'm never going to say that these people are racist, but I think that race is just like, it's just proxy for more information. It's just like, oh, like, oh, maybe if you're this race, like, this is also true about you. Or if you're tall, like, this is true about you. Or if you're like this age, this is true about you. Like, it's just a proxy for more information. And you don't have a lot of information about people out there, and you don't have information about, you know, you don't have information about, like, who they are. You can't trust them. So, like, people are obviously going to judge you based on appearances. There's, you know, there's really no way getting around that.
I know you followed the game very closely, and I'm sure you must have come into the season armed with that information. Was there anything that you did to proactively try to counteract that?
Yeah, I was so open with people. I was like 100% like in front of people. Like I was like not hiding anything about myself, because the stereotype about Asians is that they're sneaky. So I was open with people. Like, I didn't lie to people.
You couldn't have been a more open book.
Yeah. But you know, maybe that was the wrong tact too, because like all of these other people are lying about their background. So like, if you're the only one who's not doing it and you're asking questions about other people, they're just like, why are they prying into my lie? I was like, I have no idea. Like, I'm trying to get to know you. Like, it was tough out there, Rob.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between Ryan and Devin? Did you have any suspicion that they were as close as they've gotten in two episodes?
Okay, so let me tell you a thing about Ryan, and then let me tell you a thing about Devin. So, okay, so Ryan is basically like, so he's the tiniest guy out there. Like, he's like a small guy. He's a super fan. Like, he doesn't drink. He's never had a girlfriend. Like, all things that we know from this turtleneck lover. But like, he gets out there and he's cracking jokes 100% of the time. He's making puns. I love puns. I'm not trying to love him. I love him because of the puns. But like, Patrick would be like, come on, Ryan, like, let's like make me laugh. Let's do a show for me. And like, Ryan, like a court jester,
do a show for me.
Always do it on command. Yeah, it was insane. So like, that's why I really thought Patrick like could be out, because like, who demands that of a person, right? But back to Ryan. Ryan had everybody like wrapped around his finger. It was insane. Like, I tried to let them know, but it was obvious that he was very bromantic. And then he had this conversation with Lauren, where they're talking about their bodies of all things. And then Lauren was just like, I know you can't help the way that you look, Ryan. Like, I've been this way since I was a little girl. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. And then I'm just thinking to myself, like, this is the realest conversation I've ever heard in my life. Like, I shouldn't be eavesdropping, but I can't stop, because like, it was like I was watching reality television in that moment, because like, these two people who are so different connected over the similar thing, which is the fact that they have atypical bodies.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking like, no, I will never replicate that. Like, that's not, so like, I could tell like Ryan is out there. Like, Ryan is hustling. He is origin of the social gaming.
Okay. Like, what about Devin?
Doing well. Okay. So Devin, oh my God, Devin, he is so good looking. You have no idea. Actually, you have a pretty good idea. You're watching him on TV, but yeah, he's much better looking in person. And you really appreciate it when you're on the island and you're away from your partner.
Mm-hmm.
So, for Devin, like, I don't think there was like a person that didn't like Devin aside from like Lauren and Patrick, because Patrick was just like, I'm the hot guy on this tribe. And then, you know, you look at Devin and then not really. And so like, Devin had also like, he also like sacrificed his like arm. So we came back from the immunity challenge that we lost, and like, his entire right side of his body, he has a bruise that is like the size of Ryan. Like, it is completely purple, and he like sacrificed his body for us. And it's just like, how do you not fall in love with a guy like Devin? Like, oh my God. Like, thank you for doing that for us. Like, I know you're really hungry. You're bigger than all of us. So like, you're also eating the least by, you know, your standards. Like, I feel terrible, but I could tell that the two of them, you know, were getting along really well, because Ryan was getting along with everybody. And Devin kind of like had this cool laid back vibe that with Ryan that he didn't have with, like, say, Lauren.
Yeah. Simone, it sounds like you got along really well with everybody that was out there.
I couldn't penetrate it though.
Yeah.
Like people, like, I was observing these people connecting, and then it was like I was watching it, like, and then not able to like break the glass between us, because like, I couldn't bridge that gap. because I think like once it starts, like once, you know, once people start forming connections, like they think, oh yeah, like I have a good feeling about this person and not this person. It kind of snowballs until you do something like contribute to a challenge or whatever. You know, but there was no turning point for me. It was just like, okay, it was me or this other oddball, which is Patrick. So there was really nothing that I could have done.
Last thing, can you settle something? Are you in a Twitter feud with Figgy from Survivor Millennials versus Gen X?
Oh, no, no. So, like, way back when I was, like, live tweeting Millennials versus Gen X, I was just like, oh, my God, Figgy is trash. Like, why would she do a showmance or whatever, something like that. And then Figgy was like, oh, like, she was, like, live tweeting this episode. She's like, oh, yeah, they made it. But it was just like, oh, yeah, like, she did better than me. Figgy schooled me. It's like, I'm not in a Twitter feud. Like, you clearly demonstrated a better performance than I did, so I have no right to talk right now. But, yeah, like, if you want me to talk trash about somebody, like, yeah, I'll do it because I'm good at it, and I would do it any day of the week. But,
okay.
No. He's a really nice person.
Yeah, well, Simone, it was so fun to get to talk to you. I'm sure we'll talk to you more in the future, and then all the best with everything, okay?
Okay, you're great. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Simone. Bye. All right, there you have it. Simone Wynn here on the podcast and not in a feud with Figgy. She's getting along with everybody except for Patrick. She has a lot to say. Great job by Simone on the exit interview. So let's switch gears and get into the game. Everybody's got bated breath waiting to see how this is going to turn out. If I could potentially lick my wounds and get off the schneid after an opening week loss, even though I've seen a lot of people saying on Twitter it was a little unfair that Rob got all the questions right and somehow lost the game. Somehow, please welcome in the creator of the This Week in Survivor History quiz, Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How you doing?
Very good. Very good. Jordan, how have you been dealing with all of the backlash you faced this week from the critics that have been upset with you? I thought they were a little too hard on you, to be honest. I felt like that you're doing a very good job, that you're so distracted with the Yankees right now that maybe you didn't have your eye on the ball in the first week. But Jordan, how are you?
Yeah, I was about to say any criticism I received was completely overshadowed by going to the going to Yankee Stadium yesterday and seeing them win the wild card game. But I did think actually a lot of the Twitter backlash that I got, it was constructive criticism, and I actually took an idea from Logan Adair on Twitter, and we're actually changing the rules of the game again, which I'll explain to you when we get started.
Okay, very excited about that. And tell us about who you brought with us today, Jordan.
We have a great guest here, another very familiar voice on Rob Has a Podcast. We have Megan Z.
Megan Z, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited to be part of the ever-changing Twitch experience.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So, Rob, you were destroyed last week by Paul Asselson, so you're going to try to redeem yourself against Megan.
That's right. And I'm very excited that you brought Megan here. One of my favorite people. And Megan, it is an honor to have you back here. I've missed you so much since we last talked about The Celebrity Apprentice with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, we needed a chance to cool off from everything the Schwarzenegger was packing.
Yes. And so hopefully we'll have some questions about the marketplace. Yeah. God,
who's a better Patrick? Patrick Schwarzenegger or Patrick Bolton?
Let me tell you about my nephew, Patrick.
He's afraid
of crabs. He's the little crabs, the little girly man, and the crabs are going to get him. He's a big baby.
Never gets old.
He's like the redheaded stepchild of the family.
So, Megan, should people be offended with all of the red hair bashing that's going on with this Survivor season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there was a secret scene with Cochran a couple years ago called, like, the Plight of the Redhead. So he's been fighting this cause for years, so we should know better by now.
It does feel like that the redheads are the one group that seems to get no protection from anybody across any sort of hate speech.
Yeah, or from the sun.
Yeah, or from the sun. So it's tough out there. All right. Patrick Bolton, though, not doing a lot of favors for that group as their champion this season.
We'll see. We'll see if he turns it around, if he gets the good side of
the crab. That's Nicole's winner's pick. That's Nicole's winner pick right there. Okay. All right. Before we get into the game, let me tell you about our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And I'm very excited for this new sponsor. And they are the folks from Wonderbly, who are making these incredible children's books. Now, I have a couple of boys at my house. They love to hear stories, and I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do, like to read to them. And Wonderbly is creating one-of-a-kind personalized books for children that you can make online in minutes. It's a fantastic gift for anybody with kids, for Christmas, baby showers, birthdays, just because, with a variety of titles to choose from. You find a book for a child from 0 to 9 years old, and then you go in, you select what pictures you want to be, the child's name is in the book. It's really the perfect book for kids. So you can check out the entire range of personalized books at wonderbly.com. They've got three different books you can choose from. You can get the Lost My Name book. This is the one that we got for Dominic. It's for kids ages 0 to 8. You put in your child's name or the child that is going to be receiving this book, and you type in their name, and you can personalize the letters and what each letter ultimately stands for in the book and create which kid looks like the kid that is going to be getting the book. It's a completely unique and personalized experience that you're creating. There's also the My Golden Ticket book for kids that are a little bit older, all about Willy Wonka, and the Birthday Thief book for children 3 to 8. So go to wonderbly.com. That's WONDERBLY.com. Enter the child's name for a full preview of the story. Then enter code Rob at checkout for 15% off your order. These make a great gift. That's at wonderbly.com. WONDERBLY.com. And enter that code Rob at checkout to get 15% off your order. Okay.
I hope the birthday thief doesn't come to the tribal council birthday party.
Yes. So watch out. Watch out, Ryan. Okay. All right. So, Jordan, set up how this week's game is going to be a little different.
All right, so like I said, Logan Adair brought up on Twitter that it isn't fair. It isn't fair that, Rob, you got both of your questions right. It wasn't your fault that Paul Asselson made the correct strategic decision to get the final question, and he answered it correctly.
Wait, what was the correct strategic decision? He was the guest.
Yeah, so
the
correct strategic
decision was to come on this podcast?
Hey, no, he could have passed the question to you. He didn't. He made the right choice. But you're right. Nobody's going to pass up that question. It wasn't fair to you. So what Logan Adair brought up on Twitter is that you are each going to get 4 questions. First of all, for the scoring this week, if you choose to answer the question before I read the multiple choice options, you'll receive 2 questions. If you don't know it just off the top of your head, I will then read you the multiple choice questions, and then you could answer it correctly for 1 point. However, for the last question, I'll tell you how the rules work when we get to it, but you'll each be able to get points on that question. So either one of you could have a lead going into the final question, and you'll be able to come back and win even if you're losing. So,
Megan, are you following this?
Absolutely not, but let's just go.
You'll get it.
All right, we'll wing it. I texted with Jordan earlier in the week. I think I understand the rules. I don't know if the viewer, if the listeners do, but we'll just go ahead with it. Okay.
Absolutely.
So basically, if you read the multiple choices and then we answer it right, we get 1 point. If we can answer it without the multiple choice, we get 2 points. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's your first correct answer of the day.
Okay. First of many.
And I have sent you the categories. I'm going to read you the categories now. There are 4 categories. Each one contains 1 question. So our categories for today are Record Breakers, Rob's Favorite Survivor 1, Rob's Favorite Survivor 2, and Blam.
Okay. All right.
And Megan, as the guest, you get to choose your category first. Which question would you like to get?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm at a deficit because 2 of the categories are about Rob's favorite people. So maybe I'll take Rob's Favorite Survivor 1 to try to have it where he doesn't get to take one of those.
All right, let's see if that's a good strategy. Rob's Favorite Survivor 1. And we are going to go back to Survivor Thailand. This is from the Family Values episode from October 3rd, 2002, 15 years ago this past Tuesday. We've talked about this episode before, Rob. It's the Grindgate episode, but I actually didn't focus on Grindgate here.
Oh, boy.
Luckily. So Rob's Favorite Survivor 1. After saying she's starving and losing weight, what fictional television character does Shiann compare her size to? So, Megan, You can choose to answer it now. If you don't know it now, I'll read you the multiple choice questions. But if I do that, you'll only be able to receive 1 point on the question.
I do not know who I mean, Rob's favorite survivor, I think you're referring to here is Shein, but I do not know who she refers to herself as. So you can read the multiple choice.
Yeah, and I think maybe a little bit of sarcasm there with Rob's favorite survivor.
You walked right into it, Megan.
Yeah. Here's the multiple choice question. The multiple choices. A, Rachel Green. B, Elaine Bennis. C, Grace Adler. Or D, Ally McBeal.
Oh, my gosh. This is such a Thailand time capsule reference. I'm going to go with the person who of those is the thinnest and go with Ally McBeal.
Megan, let's see if you're correct.
We are starving. We're starving. Look at me. I'm like Ally McBeal size.
So, okay. Megan, you are off to a nice start. You get 1 point since you heard the multiple choices. You have a 1-0 lead. So, Rob, it is your turn to pick a question.
Shein, thin-shaming Calista Flockhart. I don't appreciate that. Shouldn't do that.
Yeah, 2002, you could get away with that. Maybe not so much in 2017.
One of many things you don't appreciate about Shein.
Yes, from that episode. Okay. All right. So I will go with Blam.
Blam. Okay. So now we, of course, are going to go to Survivor South Pacific. This is from the episode Survivalism 6 years ago today, October 5th, 2011. So Blam. Stacey Powell was gone too soon on Survivor South Pacific. Who does she refer to as Ricochet Rabbit? Wonders aloud if this person has an off switch and determines that this person needs to be disconnected.
Okay.
So would you like to try to answer before you hear the multiple choice options? And once you get it wrong, that you can't hear the options.
Right. I will go with the multiple. Well, you know, I kind of feel like I don't need the multiple choice options because I know who you're going to say. So I might as well just try to guess. I know that she ultimately doesn't like Coach. I'm wondering if it's Michaela, though, that she was sort of salty with. I'm trying to remember who else was on that tribe at that point in time. You know what it was? She didn't like Edna.
All right, so let's hear the clip.
Oh, and it's like Ricochet Rabbit. The girl go on and on and on and on. Does she have an off switch? I don't think she have an off switch. She needs to be disconnected. That's what she needs to be. Disconnected.
Disconnected.
Rob, she Edna Nama needs to be disconnected, but you're very connected to this quiz. You didn't need to hear the answers. You worked that out pretty well.
What were you going to say? Rob, Edna, Coach, Sophie, and Michaela. So
Edna, Coach, Brandon, and Michaela. So that was a good strategy. Very, very nice job by the two of you so far. Rob, you have a 2-1 lead. We have two categories left. Megan, which question would you like to take?
I'm trying to think what other survivors Rob doesn't like. I'll take the second Rob's favorite survivor 2 category.
All right, Rob's favorite survivor 2. Who did Shein blame? Who did Shein blame for
Shein question?
It is another Shein question. Who did Shein blame for the tribe's fishing net getting lost in the ocean?
All right. I want to say I'll just take the risk on this and say it was Rob Zabatnik.
Rob Zabatnik. Okay, let's hear the clip to see if you got it right.
We're going to leave it out in the ocean for hours and hours. Okay, come back. It's gone. Why? Jed was sleeping. So because Jed was sleeping and unwilling to get up, the fishing net went bye-bye. Sailed away.
Yeah.
Sailed away.
Classic Shein.
Yeah, but
classic
Megan...
Shein. That would make sense because Jed goes home that episode, so that would make sense.
Jed does get voted out. He sort of got the, you know, he was very lazy. Jake didn't like him for being lazy. Ken didn't like him. So Jed not doing a great job on Survivor Thailand. But the fishing net sailed away. Megan, your chances of winning the quiz have not sailed away yet. You're still in the game. Rob, you have a 2-1 lead, and there's only one category left. So we are going to go to Record Breakers, and we're going back to Survivor South Pacific. This week in Survivor history, the South Pacific Reward Challenge was the one in which contestants had to hold increasing amounts of weight on their shoulders. Which two survivors broke the record of 220 pounds previously set by JT, Rupert, and Brandon Synett by briefly holding 240 pounds for their tribe? Rob, would you like the multiple choice options, or would you like to answer the question?
Do I need to name both of them?
You need to name both.
Okay, I will take the multiple choice.
All right. Was it Brandon Hance and Keith Tollefson? Was it Albert Destrade and Keith Tollefson? Was it Brandon Hance and Jim Rice? Or was it Albert Destrade and Jim Rice?
Yeah, I know Brandon Hance was one of the two. So I will go with, it's between Jim or Keith. I will go with Brandon and Jim Rice.
All right, let's hear the clip.
Jim and Brandon both holding strong at 220 pounds. You're now part of the Survivor history. Let's load some more weight. Savai, who's getting the weight?
Brandon.
Jim.
Brandon and Jim getting the weight. This would be a new Survivor record.
You got this, Jim.
240 pounds. And we have two guys showing down, Jim and Brandon.
Okay. All right, two guys showing down. We have a guy and a girl showing down. Rob, you have a 4-1 lead. Very nice job so far. You haven't had to hear your multiple choice options yet. But Megan, I do have good news. We have one more final question. I'm going to read to you in a second how this is going to work. This question is worth up to 4 points. So you
is
will
it about
both...
Shein? Because I don't want to talk about Shein anymore.
It is not technically.
Megan, you're really
season.
Being very unkind to Shein.
It is from the season in which Shein played, but it isn't necessarily about Shein. It might be. I can't give anything away. So I'm going to read to you the question, and I'm going to read to you how this game works. Megan, since Rob is in the lead, you will get to go first on this question, but you both get to earn points. In the Survivor Thailand Attack Zone Challenge, 4 Sukjai tribe members were disqualified for pushing Chuigon members in the water outside of the attack zone. Who were the 4 disqualified Sukjais? You will each go back and forth and will receive 1 point per correct answer. An incorrect answer will eliminate you from competing in this final question, which coincidentally is what happened to the Sukjais in the Attack Zone Challenge. You can receive
we're going to lose because of a bunch of rules?
Yeah, exactly. And you could receive up to 4 points on this question. Rob, you're not Rob Z. Why are you complaining about these rules? Mm-hmm. You can receive up to 4 points on this question. So just to rehash, Megan, since you are trailing right now, you will go first. You will each alternate. Megan, if you get this question, if you both get it right, we'll keep alternating. Once you get it wrong, though, you cannot receive any more points on this question. And let's say Megan were to get the first one right, Rob were to get the first one wrong. Megan, you could keep answering and getting points until you get one wrong. So, Megan, who was one person that was kicked out of the Attack Zone Challenge?
Okay, here is where I feel confident that Rob Zabatnik is the right answer.
All right, so Rob Zabatnik, obviously that is correct. He choked Clay way out of the attack zone, threw him in the water. He mocked him after the challenge. So Rob Zabatnik is correct. So the score.
And
now
if you
is
didn't know that,
two.
Jordan just saying his name a minute ago would have also been a good tip off.
I don't know. I don't know about that. So Megan, you are down 4-2. Rob, it is your chance to answer the question. You could either get a point here, or if you don't get a point, Megan will get to go until she doesn't get one right.
Okay. I'm going to say Stephanie Dill.
Stephanie Dill. That is a deep pull, and that is correct. You have a 5-2 lead. Stephanie Dill fell in the water and then pulled Big Ted in with her. Not a great episode for Big Ted. Megan, it is your turn. It is 5-2, Rob.
I'm going to take, well, I can't win, but I'll keep going.
You can't win, but we
might
as well keep
going. I'm going to take my previous kryptonite of Jed.
Jed, my Survivor Thailand winner pick, and that is correct. It is 5-3. Rob, you have it sealed up, but who is the other Sukjai who is kicked out of the challenge?
Let's see. There's not that many other people that it could be. I will go with, I'm torn between Aaron Collins and Ken. I could see Penny getting into the fray there also. I will go with Aaron Collins.
Aaron Collins is incorrect. So Megan, you can actually go here and get a point if you get it correct.
Sure. I'll go with Ken Stafford. I believe
Ken Stafford is correct. However, Rob, you have won the game, and I actually have another clip for you. Play the Probst clip. This is from the Survivor Thailand episode we just spoke about.
Get a little feel of this for a change.
Yeah, there you go.
So you lost to Paul Aislinn last week. However, this week you have beat Megan Z. But Megan, you were a great guest. Thank you so much for coming on. You did an awesome job. But Rob, I believe you won by a score of, 5-4?
5-4. There you go.
So close game, very close match.
Okay. Megan, thank you so much for coming on. Of course, you could follow Megan on Twitter at Megan Wants to Know. And Jordan is on Twitter at Jordan Kalish. Megan, you're enjoying the heroes and the healers and the hustlers so far?
I am. The beginning of the Survivor season is always like taking in a big Altoid or a Mentos. It always feels nice and fresh and new. So it's very exciting as of right now.
Yes. All right. Well, Jordan, great job. Much better job this week, I'll say.
Thank you. I agree. I think it was fun this week. I liked it.
All right. Take care.
I think it's always fun, but okay.
All right. Thanks so much. Take care. Talk to you next week. All right, there you have it. This week in Survivor history and a rousing victory. You know, I feel like that I always struggle in week one, and then I get hot after that on This Week in Survivor History. The first week of Survivor season, got to shake off the rust a little bit, even though, to be fair, I got every question right last week. But, you know, just in terms of the actual scoreboard, yeah, shaking the rust off, feeling good, also feeling great about this weekend's Survivor feedback show with Akiva Whitaker. Of course, Akiva and I just launched our new Curb Your Enthusiasm post-show recap. Curb Your Enthusiasm was very funny last weekend. Hope that you guys are enjoying the new season and checking out the recaps that Akiva and I are trying to foist upon you. So check that out. Akiva and I are going to be just lamping this weekend, taking your feedback questions. You can get those into the show. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or call in 323-282-RHAP. And as I mentioned last night, Akiva and I are going to be doing a mini hot takeoff this weekend on the voicemail show. So if you have a hot take that you think is worthy of, if it's too hot, then send it into Akiva and I, and we will discuss the hottest of takes in the mini hot takeoff coming up on the feedback show this weekend. Hot take at robhasawebsite.com. Hot take at robhasawebsite.com. And you can always send your Survivor questions in as well. Survivor at robhasawebsite.com. So be on the lookout for that. Aubrey Bracco will also be our guest on The Wiggle Room. And we'll also get to the character types from Angie Kontz. I know a lot of people were waiting for that. So we did not get to it in the preseason, but we will deliver that as well. So all that and much more when you subscribe. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. And don't forget about the RHAP B&B and Why Simone Lost, which is going to be in our Survivor podcast feed and the reality TV wrap-ups feed this weekend. So a lot to do. Hope you guys enjoyed the exit interview. I'll be back with Stephen Fishback in a little bit. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.